Welcome to Cityscape. I'm Jim Eltoff, sitting in for Steve Putter. Later in the show, the art of Brian Haynes, a conversation with the artist about new regionalism, paintings of Missouri landscapes and history, think Thomas Hart Benton kind of art. And then Art City Radio Hour host Nick Garcia talks with Lindy Hop's Christian Fraumelt about a couple of jazz events taking place in November. Up first, I'm delighted to welcome renowned pianist, composer, arranger, accompanist, and educator Peter Martin, who's kicking off his concert series, Peter Martin Music, at the Sheldon Concert Hall on Saturday. Peter, a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for being with us on Cityscape.
It's great to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Let's start a little bit, a little talk about the show tomorrow night. You're working with a quartet now. Tell me about the quartet and then explain a Blue Note tribute to us.
Yeah, the quartet, this features three of my all-time favorite musicians, guys that I love playing with, I love to hang with. We've toured together a lot, together and separately over, up to like the last 20 years, actually. Guitarist is Peter Bernstein, who is one of the first musicians I worked with when I went to New York in the early 90s, and he's just an amazing player. And we played together in Josh Redman's quintet in the 90s, and earlier this year, we recorded down in New Orleans a record with some other great New Orleans musicians, and we hadn't played together in a few years. And I left that session just thinking, I got to work with this guy again soon. So that's the great thing about having your own series is you bring the people you want to play with. And you know, Peter is he's just one of the best. So I'm thrilled that he came to town. Actually, he just got here about an hour ago or so. And then on bass, we have Reuben Rogers, who I've worked with again quite a bit over the years. Incredible bassist, very, very in demand. He lives in New York and LA, and has played with kind of everybody on the scene. And then on drums is Ulysses Owens Jr., who I've had play with me here on my series about three or four times over the last few years. And he actually played with me when I did the commission piece this present past for the Sheldon for their 100th anniversary. And people that have come to the show really love his playing, and he's a thrill to play with and a thrill to listen to. So when he's available, I always try to get him in here. So it's basically like my little dream team of musicians that I love playing with, and hopefully the listeners will enjoy just as much.
And the Blue Note tribute. Blue Note is or was, I guess we can say is again, arguably the greatest label in the history of jazz. Albert Lyon and Francis Wolfe and a group of artists unsurpassed, from Monk and Bud Powell to Clifford Brown and Miles and Coltrane and Sonny Rollins. And the list just goes on and on and on. What are you doing as a tribute to the label?
Well, we're going to be playing music from a selection of great Blue Note records from over the years. And when I had this idea, I thought, oh, this will be great and this will be easy because there's so many wonderful Blue Note records. But then as I got into sort of researching it and trying to, decide what tunes we're going to play, I realized actually how hard it is because there's so much stuff. You can't fit everything into a 90-minute show. So I had to sort of, really select. And Peter Bernstein and I did a lot of talking on the phone and back and forth. What about Bud Powell? What about Thelonious Monk? We can't forget him. I'm like, oh, my God, how did I forget that? But it's just such a rich and vibrant and robust catalog for Blue Note records over the years. It's really amazing. So we're going to be doing a tribute to Blue Note with a selection and apologize in advance probably for some very important artists and records that we had to overlook this time.
You left out 50 of my favorites at least. I mean, you've included my favorite, but you could do this gig a week long and not cover the catalog.
Well, if folks like it, it'll be a good reason to do part two and part three and all that,
Two other things about Blue Note that I think jazz fans appreciate. The most famous recording engineer of all time, Rudy Van Gelder, who was responsible for so much of that Blue Note sound. And those iconic covers, those photos by Reed Miles.
Right, which I think, I came up in the era, at the very end of the LP era. I mean, when I first got into jazz as a teenager, I was walking up to Vintage Vinyl in the Del Mar Loop, to buy records. And that's when actually Blue Note Records kind of had their renewal period. So a lot of those records, I mean, I remember listening to them, Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter, and reading the liner notes and looking at that great cover art. And so that's sort of the other half of my idea with this concert. We're going to have the original LP cover artwork, and it's going to be displayed above the stage.
Wow.
While we're playing that particular song from that record. We're going to be doing our own thing, though. My concept is that we're going to be doing it, you know, the way jazz is supposed to be, which is in the moment and improvised and based upon the musicians that are on stage. So we're going to be playing the tunes, but then doing our own thing. But we're going to have the LP cover artwork with that, you know, incredible design and photography and typography and all that wonderful stuff is going to be there displayed. And hopefully it'll be a nice little connection with the music there, a nice little visual.
Oh, absolutely. A natural tie-in. Blue Note went under for a while, but then they were bought by EMI, and they're re-releasing some things, and they're releasing new recordings. What's up with the label now?
Well, you know, they sort of went dormant for a while, but the catalog was so great that there was always interest, and I think it got sold around from some big record companies, and then when EMI got involved, which I believe was like the mid '80s, Toshiba and EMI, they really had a nice renewal, and then started signing artists again. And in fact, Diane Reeves, who's a great jazz vocalist that I work with a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, I just got done with a tour with her in Europe yesterday. And she was one of the first artists that was re-signed to the new Blue Note record label. And she's been recording with them since like 1985 or 1986. So her and Stanley Jordan, Herbie Hancock, Wynton Marsalis did a couple records on the new Blue Note. A lot of great artists are there. We always think about the history of it, which kind of went up to the early 70s. But since the mid-80s, there's been some great records as well. Robert Glasper, who's a young pianist from Texas, has done a couple really nice records on Blue Note. So it's very much still alive. It's just, you know, the record industry is different than it used to be.
Tell me about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Talking with pianist Peter Martin, he's performing Saturday night at the Sheldon with his quartet, a Blue Note tribute. I think, Peter, we should hear a little bit of music, and I'd like to hear a little bit of Herbie Hancock's Cantaloupe Island.
All right.
Herbie Hancock's Cantaloupe Island music in that Blue Note style, just on the other side of their hard bop salad days, I think. Peter, let's talk a little bit about your background. You're a well-known guy around this town, but just to kind of refresh people, your parents, classical musicians, you began studying violin and piano at age 3, went to Juilliard, and then went down to Delta, down to New Orleans.
Right, yeah, I made my way south like a lot of St. Louis musicians did over the years, jazz musicians, down to New Orleans, and really spent my formative years, I would say, you know, all throughout my 20s up to the early 30s in New Orleans, playing with just a great group of musicians, both my peers like Brian Blade and Chris Thomas and Nicholas Payton and Victor Goins, and then also, you know, some elder musicians that I really learned a lot from. People like George Porter and Jermaine Basil and Ellis Marsalis, Red Tyler. I mean, there's so many great musicians, and really got to participate in that lineage of great jazz music and New Orleans music and kind of how they all work together. So I'm eternally grateful for my sound and my musical conception and maturity from the time I spent there.
Well, you've worked with so many of the greats in jazz, Johnny Griffin and Wynton Marsalis and Stanley Turrentine and Roy Hargrove and Joshua Redman and Christian McBride, a long list. And also with some of the best vocalists we have. You mentioned Diane Reeves. You worked with Betty Carter. Any of your collaborations particularly stand out in your mind? A time when you went, wow, I can't believe I'm on stage with him or her or recording with him or her.
Well, you know, a lot of, so many. It's funny, you mentioned Stanley Turrentine. I totally forgot about that. I played with him when I was like 23 years old and just like 2 gigs.
Uh-huh.
And I remember being on stage with him, and I was like, I was not that far from holding his Blue Note record in my hand that I just got at Vintage Vinyl. And then I'm on stage doing a gig with him like a couple of years later. I was definitely like, wow, what am I doing here? So, you know, playing with the older musicians has always been great. And then playing with, you know, sort of my peers. It's the great thing about jazz music and the whole culture of jazz is there's not that much difference. There isn't a separation. It's all based upon the music and what you can play. So, like, when I played with Betty Carter, that was, you know, really one of the biggest learning and expansive periods for my understanding of this music, because I was so young and she was so seasoned and knew so much about music. So she was teaching me and the other young guys in the band, but at the same time, I mean, literally teaching us, like, we'd get the rehearsal and sound check and she'd say, don't play this, play that. All right, when I sing this, play that. So there was that. But then when we get up on the gig each night, it was a collaborative thing and we're making music for the audience, and there wasn't that kind of, you know, teacher-student mentality there. It was all, we were just one making music. So it's been great, the collaborations, the older musicians, the peers, everything. I mean, I'm very, very grateful for playing with the people that I have. I've learned so much.
Well, there's such a great tradition in the music of the older guys, the older cats bringing the younger cats along and kind of showing them how it's done, and then the younger players bringing new stuff to the older guys, and that's what keeps jazz so vibrant and so alive, and it has since, I don't know, the 20s, maybe even before.
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah, really. I mean, since the beginning, from what I understand of the history of music, it's been a real kind of mentorship type of situation, which I'm very grateful to have participated in.
Talking with pianist Peter Martin, he'll be performing tomorrow night at the Sheldon with his quartet. You've also worked with some orchestras. I don't know your work with the Berlin Symphony and Simon Rattle, or the New York Phil, or the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. What's up with that?
Well, you know, I got a chance. You know, I kind of grew up around the St. Louis Symphony a lot because my father played with the symphony here for many years, up until just a few years ago. He retired, and so I kind of came up in that culture and playing a lot of classical music. And then I've gotten the chance of, and this is primarily through working with Wynton Marsalis and Jazz at Lincoln Center when I was doing that gig, and then from my long association with Diane Reeves, to do these concerts with orchestras. And so I got involved with doing a lot of the arranging and some of the writing, and but then also performing, which is great. So, like, when we did the gig with Berlin Philharmonic, this is probably 6-7 years ago, for a New Year's concert, and Simon Rattle, who's an amazing conductor and a huge jazz fan, he wanted Diane Reeves to come and be the featured vocalist. It's going to be all music of Gershwin, but he really wanted, you know, her trio to come as well and kind of tailor all the music and the arrangements and everything around it being a jazz show, but with the orchestra as well. Mm. So, you know, and then we've done a similar thing with many orchestras, and it's a lot of fun. It's kind of a meeting of two different worlds that I really enjoy, both of them.
Is Gershwin the entry point for a lot of those collaborations?
He's a real easy one. He's not the only one, but he's a real easy one. We usually end up doing at least some Gershwin, if it's not even a whole Gershwin show, because his musical conception was coming out of the classical world, but also the popular music world, and then he had a huge jazz influence on him and his writing. Mm-hmm. So it's a very natural and easy way to combine those worlds in a, I think, a real organic way.
And you also teach. You're on the faculty at Southern Illinois and Northwestern, is that right?
Right. I actually just at Southern Illinois. I'm not doing the Northwestern anymore because the commute got to be, it was killing me. But, I'm teaching over at the program. It's a wonderful program over in Edwardsville. Great group of students. And I work with, you know, the piano students on a private basis. And then once a month I do a workshop for the entire jazz department for all the different instruments, and
that must be a lot of fun.
It is. It's a really great program. Rick Hayden is the head of the jazz activities there, and he, you know, he's a great guitarist, great musician, and a great guy. So he's really built something nice there.
And you've got some kind of online master classes. How does that work?
Yes. Well, I started. Yeah, I have a It's a video lesson site, I guess, is what it's officially called. Huh. And I basically have recorded a series of videos. And this is like some serious jazz piano nerd stuff. This is for people that are like, really want to see how the sausage is made. This is not for like your average listener. This is for like, it's not even really for beginner jazz pianists. I probably should do that. I just hadn't had time. But it came out of just a number of jazz musicians, students, pianists around the world that I met when I was touring that would ask me questions. I'd give my email address, my phone number, and say, give me a call. I can give you some more information. And so I started making some videos. This is probably 5-6 years ago, because they were always sort of asking similar questions. So I said, I'm going to make a video, and then I'll just send them the link to it. And then somebody told me you should put those on YouTube because I think a lot of people would be interested. So we did that a few years ago and then started getting a lot of positive feedback. And so then, you know, my manager had the idea of putting it as like a subscription site where people would pay X amount of dollars in order to watch these videos every month. And I add to it. And it's something that I didn't know what I was getting into. And there wasn't a huge precedent for doing this, but I've had a lot of fun with it as I go. And we even have like an overhead camera where people, because they requested that to really see exactly what my keys are doing. And I just have fun with it. I get up there and play tunes and I explain what I'm doing. And,
wow.
And you know, people can kind of do it. You know, I mean, I've got members in China, in India, Brazil, Switzerland. I mean, a number of places that I've reached people that I probably never would have. So it's really exciting.
That is extremely cool. Peter, I want to thank you for your time today. I know you're really busy, and I also know jazz fans are looking forward to hearing you and the quartet tomorrow night at the Sheldon. It's been a great pleasure, and have a great show tomorrow night.
Well, Jim, thanks so much. I appreciate the time and chatting with you and getting to hear a little bit of that Blue Note music. Got me super inspired for tomorrow, so I hope everybody comes out.
Terrific. We're going to go out with some more Blue Note music, the kind of thing you will be hearing tomorrow night from Peter Martin's quartet. This is Lee Morgan's Party Time. Lee Morgan's Party Time, the kind of hard bop that made Blue Note Records famous. You're going to hear a Blue Note tribute from Peter Martin and his quartet tomorrow night at the Sheldon. You can find all the details about the concert on our website, stlouispublicradio.org. Look for the Cityscape page. Coming up next, artist Brian Haynes and the new regionalism. This is Cityscape on St. Louis Public Radio.